Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for this day. And I thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us and the love that you have for this nation. And I thank you, Father, that we are the ones that you depend on, that you have given us your life so that we can be an example to the world of what it means to be a son and a daughter of the Most High. So on this day, we give you praise and we give you glory. And I just thank you, Lord, that the message you've laid on my heart, ears are ready to hear it, and hearts are open to receive it. I just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin in Matthew 17. Some years ago, Brother Gary Carpenter did a series on mustard seed faith. And as my habit is, whenever I listen to a series, I always take notes. And so as I was thinking about and praying to the Lord about what he wanted me to minister, he brought up to my mind one of the messages in that series, and it's called A Little Faith. So I pulled out my notes and I got to thinking about them. And as I was praying and looking over the notes, the Lord started showing me some things. And I want to do that with you this morning. And I thought it was interesting that the Lord would talk about a little faith after Wednesday. How many of you were here Wednesday night? Okay. And you remember on Wednesday night, Pastor gave us made available a sheet that talked about the different things that we as men and women, as daughters, children of God, should be able to talk about and explain to someone who had a question. Okay? One of the things that we don't like to talk about is faith. Let's be honest. Because faith says that when you have it, you get what God has promised. Plain and simple. But so many of us, we believe that we have faith, but we're not really seeing what God has promised. And so when we don't see what God has promised, we think that, well, I'm waiting on God to see the promise fulfilled. But see, faith says that there is no waiting. When you have faith, there is no waiting. One of the things that we really have a difficulty with sometimes, and Sharon, I don't know if I have enough. Sister LaFay, if you could get someone to help, I'd appreciate it. One of the things that we have been taught is that if things aren't happening in our lives and we're doing the things that we're supposed to do, then we're waiting for God to move. God has already moved. He's already moved. He's waiting on us to get to the place that what he's already done can manifest in our lives. Sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard pill to swallow. And I am here standing before you this morning to let you know that that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Because I would like to think that I have done or am doing the things that God needs for me to do so that I can walk in the kind of faith he wants me to walk in. But there are so many things that I have prayed for and lifted to God, they have not manifested yet. And it's not because God is holding back. It's not because God has said, okay, Barry, you still got 50 more hours to pray in tongues. It's not because God is saying, Barry, you know, you've only meditated Ephesians 30 times, but I really want you to meditate Ephesians 50 times. Or it's not because God is saying, Barry, in the last 3 years, you've only fasted twice. But for me to be able to give you what you need, Barry, you got to fast 3 more times. So in other words, what we're saying is not the faith that we say we have is not manifesting because of God. God is waiting, God is holding it until we do enough. Okay? God is not holding it. The blessings have already been released. The blessings have already been released. Remember it says over in Ephesians, it says, by grace are ye saved. By grace are ye saved. Okay? When we access the grace, we were saved. Okay? How do we access the grace? By faith. When we have the faith to access the grace that has already been released, we're going to see it in our lives. In Matthew chapter 17 is a record that we're all familiar with. The man has a son who's a lunatic, and the son, there are devils that throw him in waters and tries to drown him, puts him in fires, tries to kill him. And so the man brings the son to Jesus' disciples. And so he comes to Jesus and says, you know, I brought my son to your disciples, but they could not cure him. And every time I read this section of scripture, I think about, and I brought my son to your church, and they couldn't do anything for him. I brought my son to your church, and they couldn't do anything for him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a reputation I don't like. That's a reputation that is not helping the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says, bring the boy to me. And in verse 17, he says, Jesus answered, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out, Jesus? And Jesus said unto them, it's because, guys, I have not gone to the cross yet. I have not made the new birth available yet. That's why you couldn't do it. See, you know, it's in order for you to do what I did, you have to have the same spirit in me. You have to have the same spirit in you that I have in me for you to do that. Is that what he said? What did he say? Because of your unbelief. Because of the littleness of your faith. What I want you to understand, the Bible says it's because of the littleness of your faith. It didn't say they didn't have any faith at all. It said it was because of the littleness of your faith. Which says to me that faith at level 1 is not going to deal with a demon at level 10. You see what I'm saying? Faith at level 2 is not going to deal with a demon at level 10. The littleness of your faith was the issue. It's not no faith. It's littleness of faith. So what I want you to see in all of this is don't start condemning yourself. Because littleness of your faith, it tells you what the issue is. I need to build my faith. Okay? So Jesus said It is because of your unbelief or the littleness of your faith. And verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. That word nothing means absolutely nothing, period. There's no leeway in that word nothing. It says, nothing shall be impossible to you. That's an absolute, ladies and gentlemen. Once you have the faith, nothing is impossible to you. I want to read verse 20 from the Amplified, and I think I include that as part of your notes. He said unto them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is, your lack of firmly relying trust, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living, I love that part. If you have faith that is living, like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. I want you to notice something that Jesus did not say. Not once in that passage did Jesus say, you know why you couldn't cast out the devil? You know why the boy is still possessed? Because you didn't have the authority to do so. He did not say that. He did not say you didn't have the authority. He said it was the littleness of your faith. I want that to sink in. In our lives, it is never an issue of authority. It's always an issue of faith. You have the authority. It's an issue of faith. Always. So it doesn't matter the situation you face. You have authority. But do you have the faith that you need to exercise that authority? Before we move on, what was the mountain that Jesus was talking about? Keeping it in the context, the mountain that Jesus was talking about was unbelief, the littleness of your faith. That's in the context. That is the mountain he's talking about. When he says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain of unbelief, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move. And then because of the mountain of unbelief has moved, nothing shall be impossible to you. Okay? The church world, and I use that term on purpose, no longer resembles Jesus. The church world no longer resembles Jesus. We look like the world. Think about what people watch. Think about what people say. Think about what people do. They look so much like the world. Steve and I were talking, and I was telling him that at home, I have two big binders like this of pastor series that I've taken notes on. And then I have probably another six or seven smaller binders like this of notes I've taken as he ministers individual messages. And I was telling Stephen that the reason that I have those things is because I made a decision that I was going to not do something here in order to have time to do this. So many in the body of Christ are not making time, to really do what's necessary to take your their faith from level 1 to level 2 to level 3 to level 4 to level 5. I mention that not as the pat on the back, but to show you that to grow is going to require something of you. And I'm still growing. I still have a long way to go. But I know, see, the thing about Pastor, Brother Gary, Pastor Dave, Brother Bront, they have spent hours and hours in the prayer closet. The Lord has revealed things to them. And see, because the Lord has revealed things to them, he doesn't have to reveal it to Barry. Only thing Barry has to do is turn, is click on the button on this computer and listen to it. And then what the Lord does with Barry, he'll do it with Jason, he will do it with Sister LaFay, he'll do it with Michelle. As you are listening and praying in tongues, the Lord builds on that foundation and shows you what you need for you. Years ago, Brother Gary, and I think it was Pastor Dave who said that as time goes on, the fast are going to get faster, the slow are going to get slower. How do the what is one of the ways that the fast get faster? Taking advantage of revelation that has already been presented. Why go back and say, Lord, teach me what you taught them, when the Lord says it's already here? Just build on that. Build on that. That's part of building from little faith to great faith. It makes me, and the Lord just brought this to mind. If how many of you would like to make Jesus marvel? How would you like to make him marvel? Remember the lady who had a daughter who was possessed, and she came to Jesus, and she was a Gentile, and she said that she wanted her daughter healed, and Jesus said, I came to the Jews, I didn't come to the Gentiles, the dogs. And he said, and she said this, Lord, yes, I understand all of that, but you know what? The dogs even eat from the master's table. And Jesus marveled. And he says, I have not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. Remember that? Remember the other one? The centurion who came to Jesus because of his servant who was dying. And his, as Jesus was coming to his home, the centurion said, Jesus, you don't even have to come to my house. Okay? All you have to do is just say the word, and my slave will be healed. And Jesus marveled. And he said the same thing, I have not seen so great a faith in Israel. Great faith, ladies and gentlemen, gets Jesus to marveling. Amen? I want Jesus to marvel. I want Jesus to marvel. I was thinking about, look at John, and we're going to look at verse 13, John chapter 10. Paul, and I don't remember what epistle is in, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. In John chapter 10, Jesus is in a dialogue with the Jews, with the religious leaders. And in verse, and it gets down to verse 34, where it says, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law that I said ye are gods? Well, let's go back up. Verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for the blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? That's in Psalm chapter, I think it's 82, verse 6, somewhere along in there. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified, me, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If the standard for being in ministry, if the standard for having the honor and privilege of standing behind the pulpit was seeing me doing the things that God said I should do, how many churches would be running the thousands that they're running? If the minister standing behind the pulpit was doing the things that God said they were supposed to do. Because Jesus said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. So if they're not doing the works of their Father, should they be believed? No. But see, the body of Christ has been co-opted. What do I mean? The body of Christ has been sold a bill of goods that says, God is operating in your life. God is showing you favor when you have material abundance. I'm going to tell you how I want God's favor to manifest in Barry's life. God's favor for Barry will manifest when Barry prays for someone and they're healed immediately. That's God's favor. That's God's favor. It's not how much money I have or how big my house is or how many cars I have. It's when I pray for someone, do I get results? That's what matters. And that's what God is looking for. That's what he is looking for. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we know from Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, when Jesus was baptized, came up out of the water, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus then, God knew that he was going to have the faith needed to do what he needed to do. Because number one, he had the faith to be baptized. When Jesus made the decision to be baptized, he made the decision to say, okay, God, I know what your plan is for me. And I know that plan includes the cross. But I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go anyway. See, Jesus could have said no at any point. But he said, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Okay? So we know that faith pleases God. How many of you want to please God? Barry wants to please God. Barry wants to please God. Luke chapter 17. And I want to focus on one little phrase in Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 6. Now, to give you sort of a background in where all of this is going, Jesus has just talked about the parable, has just talked about the rich man. And the rich man has stepped over Lazarus. And, well, this was the rich man who had a steward. And the whole point of the chapter 16 and 17 is talking about riches, the acquiring of riches, and why you have riches. Okay? So when Jesus gets that, when we get down to chapter 17, and Jesus says in verse 1, then after all of this teaching about money, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto them through whom they come. What offense? Offenses over money. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if the trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Over what? Money. That's the context. Money. Now look at what the disciples said in verse 5. Oh my God, you've got to increase our faith. You've got to increase our faith. This guy has taken my money, and you want me to forgive him every time he comes and says he's sorry? You got to increase my faith, Lord, over money. Money. And Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou cast into the sea. Sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. What is Jesus saying? If you have faith, money would not be an issue. You see that? If you have faith, money is not an issue. Okay? He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And see, when I was growing up, we were taught that all you need is a little bit of faith and God will be able to move and do things in your life. That's what we were taught. It's still being taught. When you have a little faith, you don't, when you believe that a little faith is all you need to access the promises of God, you don't try to get any more. You are satisfied with where you are. I got faith. They said all I need is the faith of grain of mustard seed. That's all I need. Then I don't need any more. So I don't need to do anything to get any more. I don't have to spend any time in the scripture. I don't have to spend any time praying. I don't have to spend any time fasting. All those things we know to do, because all it requires is a little faith. So I don't need a whole bunch. Was that enough, God? Okay. How was that, God? Was that enough faith for you? We're going to look at four places in Scripture where Jesus does not celebrate a little faith. Okay? And we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8. And I was reading this and reading this and reading this. And I thought that I had everything lined out in the message until I read it one more time. And I'm going to show you what stopped me. In Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. His disciples followed him. That stopped me. His disciples followed him. And I got to thinking about the disciples followed Jesus. So I looked up this word follow, and I want to show you what it means. This is from the Complete Word Study Dictionary, New Testament. Spiro Zeihotys is one of the dictionaries that Pastor talks about in the Bible College and says that everyone should, that if you remember the Bible College, it wouldn't hurt to have as part of your resources. He said the first thing involved in following Jesus is a cleaving to him in believing, trust, and obedience. Cleaving to him. And I thought about this word, cleaving to him. Remember how Jesus said, it is not written that when a man marries a woman, he is to cleave unto his wife, to cleave unto his wife. If Jesus is the husband and we're the bride, we are to cleave unto Jesus. Those cleaving to him must also follow his leading and act according to his example. Following means follow his leading and act according to his example. For all of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, are we following his leading and acting according to his example? Following Jesus thus denotes a fellowship of faith as well as a fellowship of life. Oh, let that one sink in. A fellowship of faith as well as a fellowship of life. Sharing in his sufferings, not only inwardly, but outwardly if necessary. Sharing in his sufferings, not only inwardly, but outwardly if necessary. What is one of the ways to share in Jesus' sufferings? Making a decision that you're going to spend this hour in the presence of God rather than spend this hour watching TV. Who's going to suffer? This body, this soul is going to suffer. But you're making a decision that this hour spent with Jesus is a lot more important than an hour watching TV. Okay? Verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with water, but Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, for we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? I think it's so interesting that Jesus, when they woke him up, the first question he asked is, why are ye so fearful? He didn't ask them, is the ship okay? He didn't ask them, are we sinking? He asked them, why are ye so fearful? That was his question. And then he says, O ye of little faith. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus gave the disciples the authority over sickness and disease and over the devils and over everything else. Remember that in chapter 10, verse 1? We as sons and daughters of God are living so far below where we are. Because, see, Jesus is talking to disciples who had a sin nature. And he's telling these disciples who had a sin nature, why are ye so fearful? Why are ye so fearful? And what else does he say? And what else did he say? Where am I? 27? 26, thank you. Get to the right one. Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Jesus is telling the disciples, what I am about to do, you could have done. Men with a sin nature. They don't have the life and nature of God. They have a sin nature. But Jesus had given them authority. Okay, I know it's in chapter 10, but he's already given them the authority. So they, for the authority that they could have done the same thing Jesus did if they didn't have fear. Okay? So what did the disciples see that caused them to marvel? Look back in verse 8 of the same chapter. Remember the centurion? The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come into under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, for I am a man under authority. The disciples saw the authority in action. So lesson number one, a little faith is not enough to follow Jesus. A little faith is not enough to follow Jesus or access the grace to deal with the attacks of the enemy. A little faith is not enough to follow Jesus. The storm appeared suddenly, out of nowhere, and the disciples panicked. Fear gripped them. fear gripped them. And Jesus says, O ye of little faith. When you have a little faith, you are a candidate for gripping fear. Gripping fear. Look in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 8, the sudden storm came about because the disciples were going from point A to point B. They had a destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a destiny. And the enemy of the soul is going to throw up sudden storms, whatever they may be, to try to stop you from reaching your destiny. And if you have a little faith, he's going to be successful. He's going to be successful. Let's look at another example. Chapter 14, look at verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were scared. They were full of fear. That's what troubled means. Saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. A couple of things I want you to notice on this one. Jesus comes walking on the sea after having spent hours in prayer. Hours in prayer. Okay? And so he's walking on the sea, and the disciples see him, and they think he's a ghost until he gets close enough for them to recognize him. And so Peter says, Lord, if it really is you, bid me to come out and join you on the water. And so Jesus says, come on, Peter. Let's take a stroll. So Peter gets out of the water, gets out of the boat onto the water, and he's walking toward Jesus. Peter is walking on the water. Sin-natured Peter. Peter doesn't have the life and nature of God. He's walking on water. See what I'm talking about? How far below where we are living? He's walking on water. I'm not saying that let's go find a swimming pool and see if we can walk on it. But I'm just saying, it's just as an example. And so he's walking on the water, but he starts to look around, and he's noticing that I've seen this stuff before, and ships have been wrecked over stuff like this, these wind and the waves crashing, and so he begins to fear. And I get so tickled because there are a lot of folks who criticize Peter. You know, you're walking on water to Jesus. How could you be so full of fear? Peter was the only one who had enough faith to get out of the boat. Think about that. There were 11 other disciples. Did they offer to get out of the boat? I don't think they did. I can just see those disciples in their minds. Yep, we're going to be burying Peter at sea. They did not have enough faith to even get out of the boat. When I look at this record and I think about Peter, I can see why Jesus dealt with Peter the way he did. Because Peter was going to be a leader of the church. He was willing to take chances for Jesus. That was Peter. Lesson number two, a little faith is not enough to keep fear from dominating your thoughts. A little faith is not enough to keep fear from dominating your thoughts when you're faced with sudden and unexpected negative circumstances. It's not enough. I remember when my father was diagnosed with cancer. This was January of 2008. And he lived until November that year. But I remember when he was diagnosed with cancer, he said something to me that broke my heart. He said to me that it's in God's hands. He had already decided that my death is going to happen because he said it's in God's hands. In other words, he was telling me that there is nothing that I can do that's going to change this. There's nothing that I can do that's going to change this. And when you have fear in your life, when you have the feeling that the door is already closed and there's no way you can walk through it, that's how you're going to respond. That's how you're going to respond. But see, ladies and gentlemen, as long as the life of God is resident in you, when it comes to any negative situation, the door is not closed. The door is not closed. The only way the door gets closed is when you close it. When you say that it's done, I'm not fighting anymore, the door will close. But as long as you are willing to stand on the promises of God's word, promises that God said in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, my word has gone forth, and it will not return void. Every promise God has made in his word has gone forth. It will not return void if we believe that promise. If we believe that promise. A little faith is not enough to keep fear from dominating your thoughts when you're faced with sudden and unexpected negative situations. And as I was reviewing my notes again this morning, the Lord added two more. So instead of having four, we got six. The third one he added was, a little faith is not enough to keep you from taking your eyes off of Jesus. A little faith is not enough to keep you from taking your eyes off of Jesus. Because what did Peter do? When Peter was walking toward Jesus like I am walking. See me? Walking toward Gloria. When Peter was walking toward Jesus, his eyes was on Jesus. My eyes are on Gloria. But when I take my eyes off of Gloria and look this way and look that way, things change. Something else has my attention. And that something else that had Peter's attention caused him to fear and to believe that he could no longer do what Jesus told him to do. Oh, that was good. Man, that was good. The wind, the rain convinced Peter that he could no longer do what Jesus wanted him to do. Oh, that was good. I'm glad this is being recorded so I can go back and, you know, take advantage of this one. But number three, a little faith is not enough to keep you from taking your eyes off of Jesus. Our authority comes out of who we are. So you either have authority that comes out of the sin nature, which is accessible to Satan and not to God, or you have authority that comes out of your new nature that God can use. Okay? That's our authority. Look in chapter 16. Look at verse 5. And when his disciples were coming to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now, when I first read that, I'm thinking, okay, I don't understand the significance. You know, they come to the other side, they just forgot to bring bread. Verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, for I reason among yourselves because ye have bought no bread. The issue was they were starting to worry about not having anything to eat. Otherwise, why would Jesus say, O ye of little faith, for I reason among you because ye have no bread? Verse 9. Do ye not understand, neither remember, Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I'm not talking about your provision? I am talking about beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I'm not talking about your provision, folks. That's covered. That's covered. Your provisions are covered. But see, when you have a little faith is not enough to keep you from worrying about having your needs met. Because see, if you have a little faith and you have a job that only pays X amount of dollars, and you have living expenses that are X amount of dollars, then a little faith is going to have you worrying about the difference between here and here. But see, Jesus says, if you seek first the kingdom of heaven, if you seek first where you live, you catch that? If you seek first where you live, then all the things that you need will be added unto you. Because, see, we don't live in this world. The only reason we're here is because we have a body, and that's why we're here in this world. But we live in the kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom of God. We don't live in this world. I cannot tell you what it meant to me when I finally realized that it doesn't matter how much money Barry makes or how much money Barry doesn't make. God's ability to supply my need is not based on how much money I earn. God's ability to supply all my need is based on his riches and his glory, not mine. Not mine. And if I take his riches and use them for the kingdom, he's going to make sure Barry's needs are supplied. Here is where so many of us live in the body of Christ. This is where our needs are. Let me give you a visual example. This is where our needs reside. Okay? So you can see. God has said, I'm going to take care of all your needs and you will not want for anything. Okay? This is where our needs are and this is where we are. We're not happy with having our needs supplied. We want the material wealth. We want all the good stuff. That we want to show people that we are sons and daughters of God by what we have. We don't want to show people we're sons of God by what we do. And God says, I'm going to supply all your need. And see, God will test us. I'm not saying he's tempting us. He will test us. God will say, okay, if your need is here, I'm going to see what you will do when you have money that's here. You know what happens most time in the body of Christ when the need is here, but they have enough money that's here? The need goes over to the money. And so you have just showed your Heavenly Father that even though your need is here, when you have this much money, you're going to make sure your need gets to that money. Instead of, okay, I got this much money above what I need to live on and to have everything else I need. Father, what do you want me to do with it? See, that's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. But see, so many of us, we are so focused here that we are not even giving God anything to work with because we're not even trusting him for this. We're not even trusting him for this. There is no reason that any son or daughter of God should not have this. No reason. If you're in the sound of my voice and you don't have your needs met, you need to go spend some more time with your father because there's an issue. Because your father said, I'm going to supply your need. What are you doing that's preventing this from happening? Because it's not your father. It's not your father. Yeah, I just won some friends and I'm going to influence the people on that one. Okay. A little faith is not enough to keep you from worrying about having your needs met. And then we're going to finish up in chapter 17. We're almost done. Remember, we read this before. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Okay? A little faith is not enough to cast out devils. That was the one he added for me. A little faith is not enough to cast out devils. Because you remember, Jesus sent them out in Matthew chapter 10. And they cast out devils because they came back and said, you know, Lord, we saw Satan, we cast out devils and we healed the blind and the sick. And Jesus said, yeah, I know you're happy about that. But this is what you really should be happy about. Your names are written in the book of life. That's what you really should be happy about. Wow, I just thought about that. These are men, and I'm sure there were some women involved, who had a sin nature. But Jesus told them, your name is written in the book of life. Jesus saw past the sin nature to the point that he knew they were going to be born again. Because you don't tell someone who has a sin nature, your name is written in the book of life. Because it's not. But Jesus saw past where they were into the kingdom of God. And he saw their names. That is so neat. The last one. A little faith is not enough to bring about the impossible. A little faith is not enough to bring about the impossible. Because Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. A little faith is not enough to bring about the impossible. Now let's review these real quick. Number one, a little faith is not enough to follow Jesus or access the grace to deal with the attacks of the enemy. A little faith, number two, is not enough to keep fear from dominating your thoughts when you're faced with sudden and unexpected negative situations. Number three, a little faith is not enough to keep you from taking your eyes off of Jesus. Number four, a little faith is not enough to keep you from worrying about having your needs met. Number five, a little faith is not enough to cast out devils. And then number six, a little faith is not enough to bring about the impossible. We're going to close in Romans chapter 10. So the question then becomes, how do we grow our faith? And we know that growing our faith, there are four things that we have been taught here in this body for a long, long time. We read the word, we meditate the word, we pray in tongues, and we fast. I want you to go home and ask your father, of those four, what do I really need to zero in on to really start boosting my faith? What do I really need to just zero in on so that my faith can start growing? Because, see, Jesus said that this kind cometh out not but by prayer and fasting. He's talking about, this kind of faith comes out not but by prayer and fasting. But see, everyone cannot fast the way they may want to because of their physical situations. So, and God knows that. He knows that. So you go to him and you say, okay, what do you want me to do to start moving my faith to where it needs to be? Okay? In Romans chapter 10, we're going to end with this. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias saith, Lord, who shall believe our report? Do you hear that? Because, see, we're quick to go to verse 17. But verse 17 is a response to what we just read. They're not, you know, who's going to believe our report, Lord? You know who's going to believe your report? Those who hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those who hear will believe the report. Hear, respond, and then do. Hear. That's why faith comes by hearing. In the Amplified, so faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Okay? The devil wants us to continue to believe that all we need is a little faith to accomplish the will of God in our lives. He knows that it's a lie. He knows that believing the mustard seed teaching as it has been presented will keep us powerless against him. It's time for us to stop living below who we are. We are sons and daughters of God Almighty. It's time, no, it's past time, for us to start living like who we are. A little faith is not enough to give God what he needs to make the miraculous come into manifestation. God desires for us to be functioning on all cylinders. All cylinders. If you are, what, a 450 caliber engine, am I close, Craig? He wants you on all 450. He don't want you doing 400. He don't want a couple of spark plugs missing. He wants all the spark plugs firing. That's what he needs from us. All our spark plugs firing. Because when that happens, then they're going to look at us. And remember when Peter was did his first message message in Acts, and the religious leaders said, acknowledged that they had that he had been with Jesus. When we are firing on all cylinders, people are going to know that we have been with Jesus. Amen. Faith is one of those things that we all believe we have all we need. And it's not until we put the metal, the foot to the metal, that we find out we don't have the faith that we thought we had. And then so for many of us, we don't see us as being the issue. We see God as being the issue for us not getting what we pray for. But God is saying, I have already released the blessings to you. They're waiting for you to access them. And faith is the way you access the blessings. And I'm going to end with this. I believe it's in Galatians chapter 5. I believe it's verse 6. It says, faith works by love. Faith is activated by love. The more you love, the more faith will manifest in your life. The more you love, the more faith will manifest in your life. So I want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, go home, spend some time talking with your father, and ask him, of the things that I know to do, what do you want me to focus on so I can start getting my faith from point A to point B to C, all the way to Z? What do you want me to do, Father? And I know that some of you have already done that, because he's already given you some instructions on what you need to do. And then at the same time, Father, show me areas in my life where I am not loving like you love. Show me areas in my life where I am falling short of loving the way you want me to love. Be ready when you ask the question for the light to be shined into your life, because that is what he wants, that is what he desires, for you to walk in love so that your faith can really just go skyrocketing.